This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ladies and gentlemen, one whom we don't talk to often enough, but we ought to talk to much more, especially now that the latest jobs report has come out. And our White House also did a report on pandemic shifts in Black employment and wages. I want to get into that. He also will share with us some of his insight on what's happening with the Federal Reserve and inflation. Professor, in fact, former chair of the Department of Economics at Howard University, also the chief economist currently for the American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations, better known as the AFL-CIO, our dear brother, rocking his Howard University sweatshirt, the Mecca, VHU, William, Professor Dr. William Spriggs. Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
And we appreciate having you. We couldn't make it without your erudition and your expertise. First of all, on the latest jobs report, since that just happened, look at African American unemployment rates. On the one hand, jobs have recovered almost to pre-pandemic rates and pre-pandemic employment. First of all, let's start there. Is that your take, that things have kind of caught back up to where it was before February 2020?
Right. We are back to having the same number of people. We're a little ahead of the number of people who are on payroll compared to February of 2020. So there's still a gap, because obviously that was 2 years ago, and we should have had job growth in between that didn't take place, but at least we're back to that level. Let's understand how unprecedented that is. In 2001, when we had the recession under the second growth, we lost a modest number of jobs in 2001. It took 6 years to get back to that same level, not back to trend, just the same level. And then when we had the Trump recession in 2008, I mean, not the Trump recession, that was the George W. Bush Great Recession, but we had the George W. Bush Great Recession in 2008, it took us again 6 years to get back to that same level, much greater job loss. This time, we're back in 2 years. That's incredible. And it's even more incredible given that while it was plain, I mean, we said we wanted to shut down certain industries, which hired millions of people. But nonetheless, to get back in 2 years when we had the greatest job loss ever, it's really remarkable. And what's further remarkable is this comes with massive shifts of the number of jobs and where they are. They aren't in the same places. So it's not that we came back to the same jobs. We've come back to totally different jobs. We have a significantly smaller public sector, which is bad news. This is why, you know, schools just opening last week, the week before, and for a lot of students this week, and school systems are struggling because they don't have all the teachers that would like to have. Hospitals would like to have more nurses. So we're down in some areas we should be up in. We're down in leisure and hospitality, which is mostly restaurant workers. We're still a million short of where we were in 2020. But millions of jobs have been created in other industries. And what a lot of people have done in the past is think, well, you know, the labor market isn't really that dynamic because people don't have the skills and we can't move people out of restaurant jobs. A lot of people argue, well, you can't raise the minimum wage. These people can't do anything else. This is all they can do. And we come to find out, well, those jobs aren't there and people are employed in other industries. For Black people, Black men got back to the share of Black men holding the job, which is a remarkable thing because remember what I had just said, the economy is getting bigger. So simply having the same number of jobs doesn't do it because you've got more people. So if the share of people who are employed is bad, that's the true marker. And the share of Black men who are employed, that we covered about 4 months ago. We never, ever had a recovery of the Black. We economists call it EPOP, the employment to population ratio. A lot of people think that that's the unemployment rate. It's not. But the EPOP is back. So that is a incredible rate of recovery. And of course that upsets a lot of people because it makes workers the winners. And people don't always like it when workers win.
So since you brought that, let's stay on that for a minute, because I want you to help us understand this. People don't like it when workers are the winners. So does that mean that they're the private interests, the employers, the corporations, so to speak, who are watching and witnessing workers coming back and doing better? Are they the ones that are increasing the pressure on the Fed to do something that would then cause unemployment to slow down cause employment to slow down and even unemployment to kind of go back up? Am I saying that accurately?
You are saying that that's exactly what's taking place. What we should be celebrating is the American Rescue Plan. A lot of people said, it's too much. You're helping people. You're helping households too much. You're giving too much money to them. And you remember last year, companies were whining. We can't find workers. You gave them so much money, they don't want to work. You're paying them not to work. Remember in the middle of still trying to recover when people were still struggling to find jobs in the Black community. You can't help them get with these unemployment benefits. They're too much. It's too much money for them. They'll be lazy. They want work. You got to stop giving them money. They always were like babies, like real babies, when they have to actually work at getting people. And so that was their first set of, you know, we didn't like this act. Then the economy's recovered. All the workers are gone. Now they're still complaining, but understand where the complaint is. Everybody's back. We're back to the same level of employment what they're upset about is a couple of them can't get workers back because they pay very low wages. Leisure hospitality is the lowest wage industry in America. Now, everybody who's taking economics understands if you can't find something, you got to pay more for it. That's how it works.
Just one quick footnote, Bill. Most who took economics understand. Remember, I failed economics. I was putting that disclaimer out there. I didn't get it, y'all. Otherwise, I'd be different. But go ahead, please. Yes.
So the labor market is like every other market. You got to bid in order to get. The prices determine distribution. And if you bid too low, you don't want to bid, you don't get anything. It's, you know, that's how auctions work. You bid 10 cents for a Mercedes, you're not going to get it. That's the losing bid. So you don't get one. So what this low-wage industry is complaining about is they had lived in a world where literally millions of Americans worked at very low wages, and now people have come back to industries that pay higher wages, including Black people. And this is the key to having a labor market that is accelerated, that is worker driven. Because in that environment, even though an employer may want to discriminate, even though they're like, I really wouldn't hire a Black person, but when my company is expanding and I have to have workers, you know, like your mom used to say, you're going to eat what's on the plate. I'm making another meal. You're eating what's on the plate. And so they will hire Black workers. And in this environment, Black workers have really benefited from two big reasons. One, we finally have a number of states raising their minimum wage. And this has been very important. We've not had a period like this since the 1960s. And so there are a lot of economists who think it's a tight labor market. It's a tight labor market. It's a tight labor market. And we raise the floor. You can't simply recruit workers by being lazy and saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to take this job at $7.25 an hour, which is the minimum wage, unfortunately, in the states where Black people are concentrated. But there are enough of us who live outside of our southern states and some mean states that don't make sense. Pennsylvania, Iowa, I mean, why do they have a $7.25? Every state around Pennsylvania has a higher minimum wage than $7.25. And it shows that Black people in Pennsylvania are not making the wage gains that Black people are in New Jersey as in one of the minimum wage is higher. So we have this, jobs are coming back, employers are hiring. We made the household balance sheet stronger. People have more savings. So before February 2020, we had this huge problem, which was a residue from the Great Recession, where people lost homes, they lost savings. We never restored to households their savings. And you always heard these statistics about, you know, the small share of Americans who could borrow $500 or have $500 in your account, or if an emergency hit, couldn't make a $500 payment. Well, many more Americans are in that healthy situation where they can take a little job or a little punch because they have some savings that let them navigate those kind of rough spots, including Black people. And then, of course, when the president did this loan forgiveness, a lot more Black people. They all have positive savings. So what you are getting is a pushback against workers being able to find jobs, being able to say no to some employers who want to be lazy and pay low wages. And people are finally having the wherewithal that they can demand a different set of goods. So we have healthy from the household sector. People don't have to go in debt the way that they used to in order to fuel growth. All of these are really positive things. And then add to that, that for the Black workers in particular, this shift to these higher wage industries, gains in manufacturing, lost disproportionately to white people when the China shock took a lot of manufacturing jobs out of the United States. We're regaining some of those jobs that we lost in manufacturing. And we're finally making footholds in construction, which is good news, because the infrastructure plan that the president signed is slowly coming into fruition. There are going to be these infrastructure projects, and Blacks are least represented in construction. So us making some gains in construction is really vital. But understand, one person's victory, and we should be celebrating this, because as I said, 2 years is unprecedented for jobs to come back, for wages to come back. Where if I'm a business person, gee, I don't know that I like this, except understand they're fine. This is the incredible part when you hear the business community blood. Their profits are at record high. The share of national income going to workers has been falling. So despite their claims, oh, workers are getting too much money, it's too hard to find them, your profits are up, and the share of the income that's going to workers is down, and you're whining. So when you hear that, you go, you're complaining about something else, because anybody who's making more money and whose profit margin is going up, and then they're whining, you know there's something else to the story, because that doesn't make sense. Why are you whining? And it's a power situation. They don't like that workers now, A, like unions. Union ratings are up higher than for any political party right now. You see workers beginning to organize. And what's hidden in the way that people talk about inflation. Inflation hurts you if you are someone who lends people money, because I'm paying you back dollars, but inflation has lowered the value of the dollar. The impact of inflation is that the value of the dollar that I'm paying back for is lower. So if I loaned you money and I gave you a mortgage, and there are a lot of Americans with mortgages at 4% or below, and inflation is 2%, that's okay, because I'm making money, because you're going to pay me back at a higher rate than the dollar is falling. So I'm making money. But if inflation is 9% and I loaned you at 4%, I'm losing more. I bet wrong. And as we found out from the Great Recession, if business bets wrong, then the rules get changed. They're always ready to change the rules. It's like, oh, this is horrible. The dollar's falling. And they start to demand that the rules be changed. And one way in which they make that clear is through the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve controls interest rates, and the Federal Reserve has the ability to slow the economy. The Federal Reserve does not have an accelerator pedal. It only has a brake pedal. Well, the Federal Reserve slows the economy. It can tell everybody, well, we're slowing the economy and raising interest rates, because if demand is accelerating faster than supply, people are beating up prices, and we want to stop beating up prices. We want to stop inflation. So the Fed raising interest rates does two things for the banks. It sets up a situation in which the interest rate is now above inflation, good for them, more profits. And for the business owners who are whining because workers are too powerful, it throws workers off balance, because now we will have workers on the short end of the deal. Workers will be unemployed. They'll be begging us for jobs. in which case it puts us under more control of wages.
Right. And so this report, folks, this leads right into the report that the White House published, Pandemic Shifts in Black Employment and Wages. You can Google that. It's everywhere. White House report, Pandemic Shifts in Black Employment and Wages. And just look at some of the summary. Black workers have been shifting to higher wage industries and occupations. Wage growth for Black workers has been relatively strong. And a lot of us may have missed this. I mean, these are not the type of topics that are covered in the news cycle, in the popular news cycle. When you say that out loud, Bill, and you read it, wage growth for Black workers has been relatively strong. That alone is going to motivate some people to whine. But hold up, that ain't the way this is supposed to be. Employment has recovered to pre-pandemic rates. As a matter of fact, I'm reading from the report. Black workers employ nominal median wage growth for Black workers employed 12 months apart has recently even been outpacing wage growth for other groups. Over the 12 months ending in July 2022, median wage growth averaged 7.8% for non-Hispanic Black workers versus 6.3% overall. Now, to get a little bit into those details, as I alluded to, African Americans have been shifting to higher wage industries and occupations. Talk to us about that, how that's so, and what's making that take place, Bill.
The number one problem Black workers face is discrimination. And a way, the strongest way to fight discrimination in a meaningful way, at a level that matters, is to have a labor market where employers are at a disadvantage, where employers have to hire workers they wouldn't normally want to hire. And when that takes place, then we can compete. We have hidden the employment. A lot of people say, well, we want a job guarantee. But what's missing from that is Black workers show up, but they're underemployed. And this assumption that, well, we are low-wage industries because we have less skill, it's just not true. So in a tighter labor market, when demand for construction is going up or demand for manufacturing is going up, then employers are caught in this dilemma. I need workers, not you. I mean, that guy in front of you. And now suddenly there's nobody in front of you. And so it becomes, well, I guess I mean you. Come on. And in that environment, you find out that our wages weren't low because we didn't have the skills. Our wages were low because we didn't have the opportunity. And I get so tired of everybody saying, well, we don't have jobs because our schools are so bad, our kids are so stupid, blah, 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 blah. No, we don't have jobs because of discrimination. And so suddenly we get these jobs. We didn't do job training. We didn't spend billions of dollars on education. In a two-year period, these are essentially the same people we started with, but look at where they landed when they were given the opportunity. This is all about opportunity. We have to forever remember the unemployment rate for white high school dropouts. I got to say this again because you've always, like, what did he say? The unemployment rate for a white person who did not finish high school, that is the unemployment, that is below the unemployment rate for Black people. Everybody wants to say, well, we don't have jobs because our kids don't learn anything in schools. It's the schools that make our kids stupid. A white person who did not finish school. You cannot claim this white person had any benefit of some super education they didn't finish. their unemployment rate is below the Black unemployment rate. Don't have a job, not because the schools did something to your kid, not because our kids are stupid. The dumbest white person, the least educated white person, the white person who has no benefit of any education, has an unemployment rate below Black America. You don't have jobs because you don't have the opportunity. And what this report shows is, you know, everybody thought, oh, well, Black people, they're just slumped because the unemployment rate went up so much. If you do macroeconomic policy well, if you design a recovery from the bottom up, don't give tax breaks to the corporations. Don't make Wall Street rich with another tax cut. Put money in households. Let the households now be strong enough that they can demand goods, not run a credit card debt. And look at what you get. A fast recovery, a recovery that is so fast and so strong that Black workers benefit disproportionately. Our wages, this study is looking at the same people. The way that the Census Bureau does the unemployment rate, they ask people each month, but it's called a rotation group, and they come back to verify the address to make sure that this is still a valid address. And so a lot of people, you get to see them 1 year later. So we're looking at the same person. So the same person who had a low wage job suddenly has a high wage job the next year. That's not because they got a PhD. It's not because they're in STEM. They were given a different opportunity. And if you run an economy where you give Black people a chance, then it makes a big difference. We are the ones who face the biggest barriers to being given a fair chance. And in an economy that runs at a high rate, well, people get to demand goods and employers are forced to hire people in order to meet that demand, that makes more difference for Black people than anything else, because it's our most powerful tool against discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To Bill Spriggs' earlier point, folks, just want to share a little bit more from the report, the White House report, which I'm sure, you know, those who are the anti-labor forces, the corporate forces aren't happy with. Just listen to this, if you would. The transportation and utility sector stands out from all other industries in terms of Black employment, Black participation. 11% of Black workers were employed in that industry on average over the past 6 months, a shift of plus 1.5 percentage points from the 9.5% of Black workers over the same period in 2019. 19% of transportation and utility workers were Black in 2019. Just over 20% are now transportation and utility workers who are Black, an uptick of 1.3%. Other industries that show positive shifts, smaller but positive, are construction, wholesale and retail trade, professional and business services. Now, what Professor Spriggs said, the report also said this, he said this himself earlier, the industries with the clearest and most consistent negative shifts are leisure and hospitality and other services, parenthetically, personal care services. So you're right, leisure and hospitality, you know, those are the places where they're going to, you know, try to do the lower wages. And let's be clear. Oh, we're talking about Black and non-Hispanic But we know a lot of our Hispanic sisters and brothers are in leisure and hospitality. And obviously, they ain't running back over there either. you know, when if so, this is reporting and on there, but we can just, I'm sure, hypothesize, you probably know numbers too, Bill, if that industry refuses to come back in the way with the wages that others have, people, they're finished with that. And sometimes being at home in a pandemic and you have some time to yourself, it makes you start thinking and, you know, spend some time alone with yourself. You might earn, you know, develop some self-respect. And I ain't gonna do that no more. So, you know, none of that helps this industry. So bottom line, Bill, and I guess kind of in closing, because I saw you retweeted the piece about labor force participation rate and how that may affect what the Fed may do. Talk a little bit more about that. Is the Fed, are they inclined to let this continue, or will the pressure from the so-called job makers be too intense and the Fed will have to succumb?
So far, the Fed has reacted thinking that they are being bullied by the financial sector. The inflation we are experiencing now, everybody is waking up every day, it seems, to another catastrophe, right? Today, we all woke up. There's still flooding in Rhode Island. I-95 still isn't working correctly. The major corridors, you know, the East Coast that takes you from Boston all the way down to Miami. And so a lot of people understand these disruptions. Mississippi, we see the stories about Jackson. We forget this is disrupting economic activity. The people outside of the Jackson area that currently is flooded, that's one of the major areas we produce carbon dioxide. You say, well, okay, so you don't make CO2, big deal. Except go to a restaurant and you want soda, you need CO2. You want to deliver something that's frozen, you need dry ice. That's CO2. So understand that CO2 is a very important chemical. We also use it to knock out animals when we want to do slaughter. So you're looking at a very vital thing that's being disrupted. All of this is tragic on the human level. I don't want to diminish that. I don't want people to lose sight of people losing their lives and their household. But understand, as another side as well, which is economic catastrophe, the floods in Pakistan that wipe out large regions of a country that don't have a lot of resources. That's horrible. What's happening to the textile workers? They're not making shirts. They're bailing themselves out. So when you get these kind of shops, no CO2. Oh, they're not making shirts. This shrinks supply and prices go up. For the Federal Reserve to suggest that they can control all of these shops and that prices won't go up, will guarantee that prices will only go up 2%, they don't control the weather. This is not something that they can make interest rate 500%. They can make it so you can borrow down. But that's not going to put the floodwaters down in Mississippi. It's not going to put the floodwaters down in Pakistan. It's not going to get Russia out of the Ukraine. It's not going to end the drought in China. That's affecting their ability to produce because the Yangtze River can't produce as much hydroelectric power as it used to. It's not going to end the drought in America's West. So, for the Fed to present that they can slow down the economy is misleading. And for them to say, this is going to inflict pain, but you'll be grateful. You know, Black people have heard this. This is when your parents are getting ready to whip you and tell you, oh, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you. You know, that's not true. And we let them use these euphemisms. Like, you know, this is just going to be a little talk. When people lose their jobs, it's not a little tap. It's a big tap. And then they want to tell us, this is, you're going to be better off if you're unemployed because the rest of us benefit. But the rest of us do not benefit. When unemployment goes up, wages go down. Wages are already falling relative to inflation. All of these shocks have generated inflation. It's very painful. And our wages can't respond to these shocks. And so for a lot of people, It is in fact a painful period because real wages are falling. Our wages compared to prices are falling. But to suggest that the solution is, well, I want wages to fall more, like I already can't afford stuff, and you want my wages to fall by more, and that's going to help me. It doesn't help anybody. So you know, they want to tell you, well, okay, so what if unemployment does go up to 4 or 5 or 6%? The other 95% of us will still have jobs and we'll be better off. Well, the 95% of us who have jobs are not going to be better off. That puts pressure on our wages. Our wages will fall. You can't go to your employer and say, I want a wage increase. And it's like people are losing their jobs. What do you mean you want a wage increase? I can get somebody to replace you. That's not how this works. So do not think, because a lot of pundits get on TV and say this, well, the rest of us are going to be better off because we still have our jobs. No, the rest of us are not better off. And people are better off who still have their jobs and the seat and grown so I can get paid thousands of times more than the average worker. Anyway, that's who benefits. So we have to stop letting these people use euphemisms and things like that. No, this is painful for workers. It lowers real income for all workers. And for those who experience unemployment, this is a catastrophe. It's a personal catastrophe because whatever the prices are, they're not about all the job.
It also, this report that the White House released came out just before the August report. And in some areas, particularly Black unemployment in the month of August went from 6.0 to 6.4. White went from 3.1 to 3.2. Asian from 2.6 to 2.8. And then Hispanic or Latino from 3.9 to 4.5. It's probably too early to know, or maybe you know, what was going on in August.
Well, this is the bad thing. See, as much as these companies are playing, the data in August tell you the real score. Black workers have been shrinking away from the labor force over the last 3 months. Black workers are exceedingly sensitive to, are you actually hiring? Because of the discrimination we face in the labor market, it's already harder for us to get a job. If employers really are not hiring, then we give up and we drop out of the labor force. And when we drop out of the labor force, we become hidden from the statistics. So key to understanding this is the response in the Black labor market has been 3 months of decline in labor force participation. You aren't really hiring. You aren't really hiring because you would have hired us. And the Black unemployment rate went up for the wrong reasons, meaning labor force participation shrank. The number of Black people who were employed shrank. And so this is unemployment in the bad sense. Now, for white America, a similar kind of story was being told because over most of the recovery, new entrants to the labor market, people who in the previous months said, I'm not looking for a job, I'm just sitting here, I'm not really in the labor market. When they entered the labor market the following month, they were very successful at landing jobs. Except in August. In August, the unemployment rate went up because a lot of white people came back to the labor market. The increase in labor force participation was among whites, not among Blacks, not among Hispanics, it was among whites. And the white unemployment rate went up because white people showed up this time and said, we want jobs. And employers said, no, not really. We're not really hiring. And so their unemployment rate went up because these people now are in the statistics because they say they want a job, but because they weren't successful, they now show up as unemployed. And so what the August story is telling you is, as much as companies are whining, they're not really hiring. So you hear these people, oh, look at how many job openings there are for unemployed workers. If all those job openings really were job openings, then when white people show up, then unemployment should be falling. But white people showed up and the employers said, dang, Black workers had experienced the civil wars when we started the Republic, where Black labor force participation was picking up because we thought, oh, they say they're hiring, they'll even hire us. And we showed up and they said, not you. And our unemployment rate was going up for the right reasons, because we were landing more jobs and our employment population ratio was going up. The share of us holding jobs is going up. It's just that so many of us were coming back to the labor market that our unemployment rate was going up. But these last 3 months, it's all because of the wrong thing. So what we're seeing is that hiring is in fact slowing. These job openings that you see for unemployed worker, two job openings for an unemployed worker, that doesn't mean anything. Employers don't really mean it. They just have those postings there. It really doesn't mean we're looking. And hopefully the people of the Federal Reserve will understand you're slowing the job market, you're slowing hiring. And the unemployment rate is from the dynamics in the marketplace. There's always hiring, there's always firing. But when hiring goes below firing, then you get unemployment going up. And the problem that the Fed has is that once that happens, they don't control where that goes. Once the unemployment rate starts going up because firms don't see demand, or they're losing demand because people who lose jobs don't show up, they don't buy things. So once that dynamic starts, there's no telling where it goes. And for Black people, you absolutely don't know where it's going to go. And that's the tragedy, because the story that the naysayers are telling now, don't do what you did in 2001. Do not in 2021. Don't do what Joe Biden did. Don't get people back to work quickly. And what we know from before, if you don't do something to heal the households, then it takes 6 years. 6 years of pain, 6 years of lower employment, lower wages that we don't make up. I mean, you know, all these people want to say, oh, you're better off. This is like what the Fed is trying to say. Yeah, but you'll have lower inflation. Yeah, we'll have lower real income. So what, I'm not better off if my income goes down. I'm not.
William Spriggs, Chief Economist for the AFL-CIO, Professor of Economics at Howard University. Yeah, brother, we're going to do this more often. As always, thank you, Professor Spriggs.
Well, thank you for having me on. It is a shame we in the Black community so often get wrapped up in a kind of victimhood story, but even when we do well, we don't celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, when you read that White House report, we actually have huge cause for celebration that things are going in the right direction.
Right.
That we're moving to higher wage industries. And a key point that you raised, when we become 20% of an industry like transportation, it changes the equation. Suddenly, it's not so easy to discriminate because now we're too much of the workforce. It's not like you can say, well, I don't want to hire Black people. Like, that's your workers. We become what makes that industry tick. And as much as we are underrepresented in construction, we are equally highly concentrated in that industry. We become so vital, it becomes very hard to discriminate against us.
Thank you, Professor.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.